The race fans walking the downtown streets of Monte Carlo with the reverence of a small boy treading the turf at Yankee Stadium. This is where the cars will run, they think, but can still scarcely believe it, even as the gendarmes begin to clear them from the circuit, to change the road past the casino and the Hotel de Paris and Cartier's jewelry store and the Tip Top Bar into a race course, 9 miles long and unique in all the world. Stuart Tartan around the helmet of Jackie Stewart, who's saying, get that car out of there, get him in further over. There's Jackie Stewart's wife watching. There's Mario Andretti, the American, who was unable to qualify because of a combination of car trouble and weather. More about that, we'll explain that to you later. Right now it's still seconds till the start as Chiron makes sure everything is all right now.
Wonder they didn't go then. He almost dropped the flag, it looked like to me.
Well, he did. He just meant to point it. It sure looked like a start. There they go. Oh, Chiron almost got hit.
Being run over.
But here are the race cars streaming through Sandoval Turn and up the hill for the first time, and Jackie Stewart already has the lead. It is Tyrrell Ford that qualified 1 2/10 seconds faster than any other car in the race. And they're headed up for the casino and Hotel de Paris turn for the first time is Jackie Stewart in number 11, Joe Seifert in number 14, Jackie Eakes in number 5, and Pedro Rodriguez in number 14, followed by Dennis Holm in number 9. Those are the first five cars as they go past the casino. And down the hill, now the right turn towards where the old railroad station used to be. A look from the helicopter for the first time as they head for the seawall, take the right, and head towards the tunnel. It is Stewart, Seifert, Eakes, Rodriguez, and Holm. That's where they used to shoot pigeons, on top of the tunnel. That's what the tunnel was built for, to support that structure there. Now, through the chicane for the first time. Remember, this is not a thing you slide through. You have to go left and then right, but very, very quickly. It is still Jackie Stewart, the leader. Joe Seifert is second. Jackie Eakes is third. Rodriguez fourth and Holm fifth. And Ronnie Peterson, who started in the fourth row, has begun to move up in his number 17, March. There are the leaders through the gasometer. And to the start-finish line, one lap has been completed. Signs being held out from the pits already. Well, pretty much as people had figured on the first lap.
It sort of looks that way. Front three cars are pulled out a little bit now.
As again, they go between the Hotel de Paris and Van Cleef & Arpels jewelry store, which is built into the side of the casino. And there is Ronnie Peterson. There was a red car there if you're watching in color. Here's the leader, Stewart, then Seifert, then Eakes, then Rodriguez, then Peterson has now moved ahead of Dennis Holm.
Yeah, he's gone ahead of Denny Holm. He is really going.
Started in eighth.
Peter Gethin locked up a right front wheel here, left a cloud of smoke.
Who was that, Gethin?
That was Gethin, yeah.
And again, they're down along the harbor of Monaco, the water coming in the Mediterranean Sea. Nobody dropping back too far now as they proceed in line through the tobacconist turn. That is a tobacco shop right there.
Oh! Somebody went out.
It's Graham Hill. Graham Hill has crashed into the wall at the tobacconist. He is in a corner there. It's difficult to get a shot of that car. But there you see mechanics running. Graham is out of the car. You can't see him from here, but he is out. And here this is in slow motion. Let's see what happened. It's hard to say, but he suddenly started across the race course, as you can see by the arrow, going straight across and headed towards the wall, then continuing, getting it just a little bit left. But into there. Phil is down with Graham right now. Let's see what happened.
Well, we're down here in the pits now with a rather dejected Graham Hill. Probably he's just driven one of the shortest Monaco races that I think he's ever experienced. Graham, what happened?
It's quite simply, I made a mistake. I hit the coming into the tobacco. I hit the guardrail on the left with my left front wheel, and that sent me ricocheting across to the right into the wall. And of course, I ripped the whole of the right hand suspension off the front of rear wheels and stuffed the car.
Really unhappy to have done.
I'd be upset, of course.
Naturally, we can understand why.
Oh, I should be so stupid to do something.
You know, that's part of the life of being a racing driver.
Well, there you hear an unusual thing for many racing drivers. 42-year-old Graham Hill, a five-time winner of this race, not only saying that it was his own fault, but that it was a stupid thing to do. We'll be back in a minute with more of the Grand Prix of Monaco. We return return to the streets of Monte Carlo in the 1971 Grand Prix of Monaco. That's Jackie Stewart in his blue Tyrrell Ford, number 11, still leading the race and beginning to stretch that lead out a little bit over second place Joe Siepert of Switzerland and third place Jackie Eakes of Belgium. Now here they come through the chicane. There's Stewart, here is Siepert, and here comes Jackie Eakes in the Ferrari. Bill, you know, Jackie Stewart led this race for some 68 laps last year, but then his car broke down, and this time he's in a brand-new vehicle. It hasn't been raced before.
Well, there's still an awful lot of testing and proving that's gone behind this design and everything. The fact that it hasn't run before as a car doesn't really mean that much to him.
Okay, well, here they are up the hill again, and it's still Jackie Stewart, as you see, out in front. Quite a battle for fourth place has developed between Pedro Rodriguez, Ronnie Peters. Oh, look out, there is...
Tim Schenken.
Tim Schenken, yeah, up on the paving at the Gaza Metro.
Looks like he did in his tire, too.
Now they're coming down onto the uneven terrain headed towards Mirabeau.
Very uneven down here, isn't it? Look at how bumpy it is.
And here is that battle for fourth. There is Peterson trying to get by Rodriguez, but he can't, and Holm is just in back of them. Yesterday, I took a walk of this course all the way around with Jackie Stewart, the man who's out there leading the race right now. Let's go back in time then to this point on the course, just before the tunnel.
This particular part is one of the diciest places in the track, Jim, because you come out normally of bright sunshine, you know, really strong sunshine with reflection of the Mediterranean. You come in here, you're going very fast, fourth gear, 130 miles an hour, and you come in to the blackness of the tunnel. Okay, so you're in the tunnel, you can imagine the noise in here because we've got an echo in here right now. You're coming out of this pitch black of the tunnel into the, again, a very strong sunlight as you come out of here. So you've got this immediate glare on your eyes, and you've got to immediately fix yourself back into normal vision. We come down here, Jim, the fastest part of the circuit, 135, 140 mile an hour now before we get to the chicane here.
Interrupt for a second. We're on public streets here. For example, this is the Avenue President J.F. Kennedy.
So we've got, coming into the chicane, for me the chicane of Monte Carlo is the most difficult, the most demanding and the most dangerous part of the whole track, because you're coming in at 135, 140 miles an hour. You've got the rock face in your right-hand side coming in, you've got the grandstand in your left-hand side over here with the people, and when you get through the chicane, which is a quick flip left and right through there, clipping it sometimes, you can see from the tire marks on the boarding there, you get in with a Mediterranean now on your left-hand side. You know, the whole place...
It's not unknown for drivers to go into the Mediterranean.
Well, there's been
Alberto Ascari went in and Paul Hawkins went in.
And, yep. Before that was, of course, the barrier was put up. They put the barrier up, and, of course, now that, I hope, stops that possibility. And, of course, but this is where they had the very bad Bandini accident.
Right, right.
He clipped this side here, the car went over, bounced into this lot here, and, of course, caught fire, and he later died. But
Jackie, haven't they moved this chicane down a little bit since I was last year?
Yeah, they moved it down from, it was further up, but it was faster, Jim. It was opened up. Now, it's a very tight space now. The chicane itself, you're only using, from that bollard there, you're only using this amount of road. And if you lose time here, you've lost a second and a half in the whole lap. For me, this is the place where really time's made up.
A look at the tunnel and the chicane with Jackie Stewart, and here now the action at that chicane. Stewart still leading the race, and that is not Jackie, that's his teammate, Francois Sever. Look at that left rear tire. That's a real problem, Phil.
Really is. Been a fair amount of that already this time. It's those new small radial diameter tires that don't let you touch the curbings at all without wrecking a tire and a wheel.
And now here is Tim Schenken into the pit, so it looks like there's going to be the usual share of problems here in Monte Carlo.
Yep.
Again, the leader comes up the hill as he must do 80 times before the race is done. 80 laps around this 1.9-mile course. And here they are by the Hotel de Paris and the casino again. Stewart down the hill. And now back to second place Siebert. As you can see, Jackie is really stretching it out.
He locked up his left front wheel a little bit there, getting into the Mirabeau turn here.
And here is that battle for fourth and fifth between Rodriguez and Peterson and Holm. That's a real fight right now. Chris Amon back into the pits. He did get started, but now he's back in again. It's like one of those days for him. Jackie Stewart has clearly established his superiority here in the streets of Monte Carlo in the 1971 Grand Prix of Monaco. However, there's a long way to go in this race, and now kind of the second story of the race usually begins here. Can the car last? Can it go all the way? Because the attrition rate in Monte Carlo is usually tremendous. Well, that was Stewart flashing through in pursuit of Tim Schenken, and look at the big lead he has on the second-place car, Josephus. There he is, and there's Jackie Ickx. Still a great battle for second and third. Stewart right now will soon be trying to put a lap on this car in front of him, Tim Schenken. Remember, he broke down earlier, but he got a new tire on there, and he's back in the race. What's that sign mean to Jackie?
Well, I don't really know, Jim. Probably he's got a fuel cap or something that a certain predetermined time he's supposed to remember to turn on. That would be my guess.
That was Ken Terrell, the head of the Terrell Ford operation we saw there for a moment. As Stewart continues to try to get by Schenken, there's the move over flag being given to young Tim from Australia, who's a teammate of Graham Hill's. And this time he's letting him go by. An interesting little bit of professional driving. The pursued and the pursuer almost working as teammates in that kind of an operation for a moment.
Yeah, there's the flag waving way up there. Look at him, see? He's going to have to sort of move over. And here's the perfect example of two guys working together. Both of them getting around the corner in the least amount of time and the least bother.
And the banners are higher all the time, saying Stewart and Jackie. Things of that nature all around this race course, hanging from balconies or draped on yachts out in the harbor. There is Mario Andretti of the United States. He was supposed to drive for Ferrari here, but there was only one good weather day for practice, and on that day his car broke down, so he didn't make the field. He didn't qualify. A very disappointed man. And here's a most interesting young lady. That's Helen Stewart, the wife of Jackie Stewart, keeping lap times on the pit wall. And there goes her husband up the hill of Sandevoort yet another time. Emerson Fittipaldi in car number one is moving up in the standings, driving for Lotus. He won the United States Grand Prix last year.
Both the Lotuses had bad starting positions and a sort of a rough time in practice. Fittipaldi started way in the back.
So he's doing a very good job now, moving up into the top 10. Around the apartment house again. That's a brand new apartment house, by the way. The right turn onto the seawall, into the tunnel, and it must just seem endless. Around and around in Monte Carlo. More racing in a minute. That's Chris Amon at number 20. He's had plenty of trouble. He's many laps behind, but is back in the race. Just to finish, this one is very good. Here are the second place and third place cars of the other BRM, Joe Seifert and Jackie Ickx in his Ferrari. And not too far behind them, Ronnie Peterson. Now there's Regazzoni in the other Ferrari who has spun out.
That was just leaving the chicane, a very, very dangerous place to spin, incidentally.
And as we watch Stewart, Peterson has made a tremendous bid and his march has passed Ickx and gone into third place. Let's watch for that battle now, because Peterson is moving up on the second-place car of Seifert now, and they should be coming through here just about any time. Here he comes, Peterson in the red car with the strange-looking airfoil, going into second place in the race.
That is fantastic. He is really putting on a tremendous show here.
There's Graham Hill talking to Lewis Stanley, who's the head of the BRM operation. Standing at the gazometer, Graham, of course, crashed earlier in his Brabham. So the race goes on in Monte Carlo. We'll be back here for the finish right now, on again to Hawaii and Bud Palmer. The others who are still... Oh, somebody's driven off into the escape route at the chicane, but he's okay.
Well, it's obviously one of the marshes. It must be Pescarola, Jim.
Yeah, it's Henri Pescarola in car number 27. Another one of the marches, but he's back on the race course. And there is Graham Hill still watching with Lewis Stanley of BRM. Graham looking as dignified as ever, although inside he's feeling very bad today after crashing on the second lap. What kind of a race course is this, Phil? You might think it might be kind of a Mickey Mouse circuit, in the phrase that's sometimes used. Or is it a very difficult course?
Well, naturally, on paper, when you look at the configuration of the circuit, Jim, it does appear to be very Mickey Mouse. All kinds of wiggles and hairpins and everything. But in actual fact, anybody that has ever tried to get in the race here, tried to qualify a car during the qualification days, knows that it is one of the most difficult circuits in the world to get around a quick lap.
By the way, about 3 minutes ago, we had a report that it was drizzling out there in that part of the course, out around the seawall. And now we begin to feel a few drops here in the pit area. However, at this stage, I should think Jackie can go slow enough, it wouldn't bother.
Jackie should be able to be turning off enough of his speed a little bit with that kind of a buffer to not really have to worry too much about anything at this point, except to not do anything foolish.
Quick reminder here that ABC Sports will feature exclusive coverage of the U.S. Open Golf Championship, beginning with second-round highlights on Friday night, June 18th at 10:30. Third and final round action, Saturday the 19th and Sunday the 20th, beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Immediately preceding our U.S. Open telecast on Sunday at 3:30, a special half-hour golf special, A Decade of Open Champions, a 10-year history of the U.S. Open Golf Championship. So plan to be with us for that. That's less than 2 weeks from now that it starts. Jackie Stewart, though, on his way to victory, and the crowd beginning to cheer now. Just about nothing can stop him at this point. Last year, of course, Jack Brabham lost on the final turn of the race, but he was being very closely pursued by the late Jochen Rindt at that point. Nobody is close to Jackie Stewart. The Scot who won this race in 1966, a former champion of the world.
Ooh, he hit the barricade then. Did you see that? Excuse me, Jim.
Now, here's slow motion. Let's watch this now. The leader, Stewart, coming through.
Another inch, and it would have put him out.
So there, we take him back again. You can see that he hit it. Now watch him hit it again. And you say another inch or two could have done it. Could have ruined the afternoon. But the checkered flag now greets Jackie Stewart, and the race is over. For the second time in his career, he has won the Grand Prix of Monaco. Louis Chiron waving the checkered flag now for Ronnie Peterson, who finished second. There's Jackie Eakes in the Ferrari number 4, who is about to finish third in the race. Running down the other finishers, and there is Jackie Stewart out of the car. Let's take a look at him now for a moment. Again, the protective hood that they wear nowadays to protect them against fire. Slight misspelling on the French superimposition there. It's Stewart with a T, not a D. And his wife, Helen, greeting Jackie. Boy, it must be a long afternoon for a racing wife, too.
He looks like a very, very tired young man.
Really does. Looks like he took a couple of pills. Do you think maybe he's not feeling too well after that long ride?
No, he doesn't look too well.
Being greeted now, however, by the Prince and Princess of Monaco, Prince Rainier and Princess Grace. We'll have a word with the winner in a minute. Well, here's a new one for us. We're riding with Jackie Stewart as he takes his victory lap.
Jackie!
Congratulations, champion.
Oh, Jim, thanks very much.
Did you have a nice ride?
Pretty good ride. The car went just beautifully. I never had any trouble at all. I made two mistakes. I changed the brake ratio on my on the warm-up lap, which was a mistake, because I was locking up my front wheels very badly. And then I touched the barrier with my left wheel about 25 laps to go. When I got in behind another car, I lost the wind, you know, from the draft. And I just touched the barrier, but I think I may have damaged the wheel slightly. But it stayed up very well.
While it's happening, while the shots of the crowd are still going on all around us, how much a part of it is this?
Well, for me, this is quite a lot. I would be a hypocrite if I said it wasn't. I must say, anyone who wins a race like this has got to be pretty happy. I'm sure Phil knows that.
Your mood's a little different than before the race.
Well,
the last thing you said, if you don't remember, was that if it rained, you couldn't win. Why'd you say that?
Well, we had a particular problem with the setup of the car that it wouldn't work if it did rain. But we managed to keep it going in the dry. I think our prayers were doing well.
It didn't rain until the last lap, I believe.
Yeah, I think the last lap very quiet.
I mean, it did get a little bit slippery on the last lap, didn't it?
Only this side of the circuit, though.
Well, Bill, another year has gone by, another Grand Prix of Monaco, and it just gets more exciting every year, doesn't it?
Boys, it was really terrific.
Our thanks to you. Our thanks to you, Jackie.
Well, Jim, thanks for you. I think you should come to them all.
That's the story in Monte Carlo.
The executive producer of ABC's Wide World of Sports is Rune Arledge. Grand Prix of Monaco was produced by Doug Wilson. Race coverage provided by ORTF French Television. Our director in Monaco, Larry Camp. The Duke Anamoku Surf Classic, produced by Fred Hutchison and directed by Larry Lindbergh. The production coordinator of ABC's Wide World of Sports is Dennis Lewin, and the program administrator, John Martin. Our associate director in Monaco, Joe Assetti. Next Saturday, be sure to join us for live coverage of the National Championship Sprint Car Race from Rossburg, Ohio, along with a special U.S. Open Golf Championship preview from Ardmore, Pennsylvania, on Wide World of Sports. Oh, and one other thing. Before we leave today's pre-recorded program, sincere congratulations and best wishes from all of us at ABC Sports to our friend and colleague, Bill Hill, who this day becomes a married man out in California. For now, this is Jim McKay speaking for Phil and for Jackie Stewart, saying so long. Air travel arranged through and promotional fee paid by American Airlines. American has more 747s flying to more places in the United States than any other airline. It's good to know you're on American. Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This has been ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by Sears Tire and Auto Center, where you'll find die-hard batteries and a complete line of quality tires. By Midas, in behalf of the 564 Midas dealers from coast to coast. And by Mercury, where better ideas make better cars. It's as simple as that. Mercury makes better cars at the sign of the cat.
British singing sensation Val Dunican makes his American television debut in the company of...
The race fans walking the downtown streets of Monte Carlo with the reverence of a small boy treading the turf at Yankee Stadium. This is where the cars will run, they think, but can still scarcely believe it, even as the gendarmes begin to clear them from the circuit, to change the road past the casino and the Hotel de Paris and Cartier's jewelry store and the Tip Top Bar into a race course, 9 miles long and unique in all the world. Stuart Tartan around the helmet of Jackie Stewart, who's saying, get that car out of there. Get him in further over. There's Jackie Stewart's wife watching. There's Mario Andretti, the American, who wasn't able to qualify because of a combination of car trouble and weather. More about that. We'll explain that to you later. Right now, it's still seconds till the start. As Chiron makes sure everything is all right now.
When did they even go then? He almost dropped the flag, it looked like to me.
Oh, he did. He just meant to point it. It sure looked like a start. There they go. Got hit.
Being run over.
But here are the race cars streaming through Sandoval Turn and up the hill for the first time, and Jackie Stewart already has the lead. In his Tyrrell Ford that qualified 1 2/10 seconds faster than any other car in the race. And they're headed up for the casino and Hotel de Paris turn for the first time is Jackie Stewart in number 11, Joe Seifert in number 14. Jackie Eakes in number 5, and Pedro Rodriguez in number 14, followed by Dennis Holm in number 9. Those are the first 5 cars as they go past the casino. And down the hill, now the right turn towards where the old railroad station used to be. A look from the helicopter for the first time as they head for the seawall, take the right, and head towards the tunnel. It is Stewart, Seifert, Eakes, Rodriguez, and Holm. That's where they used to shoot pigeons on top of the tunnel. That's what the tunnel was built for, to support that structure there. Now, through the chicane for the first time. Remember, this is not a thing you slide through. You have to go left and then right, but very, very quickly. It is still Jackie Stewart, the leader. Joe Seifert is second. Jackie Eakes is third. Rodriguez fourth and Holm fifth. And Ronnie Peterson, who started in the fourth row, has begun to move up in his number 17, March. They're the leaders through the gasometer. And to the start-finish line, one lap has been completed. Signs being held out from the pits already. Well, pretty much as people had figured on the first lap.
It sort of looks that way. The front three cars are pulled out a little bit now.
As again, they go between the Hotel de Paris and Van Cleef & Arpels jewelry store, which is built into the side of the casino. And there is Ronnie Peterson. There was a red car there, if you're watching in color. Here's the leader, Stewart, then Seifert, then Eats, then Rodriguez, then Peterson has now moved ahead of Dennis Holm.
Yeah, he's gone ahead of Denny Holm. He is really going.
Started in eighth.
Peter Gethin locked up a right front wheel here, left a cloud of smoke.
Who was that, Gethin?
That was Gethin, yeah.
And again, they're down along the harbor of Monaco. The water coming in from the Mediterranean Sea. Nobody dropping back too far now as they proceed in line through the tobacconist turn. That is a tobacco shop right there.
Oh! Somebody went out.
It's Graham Hill. Graham Hill has crashed into the wall at the tobacconist. He is in a corner there. It's difficult to get a shot of that car. But there you see mechanics running. Graham is out of the car. You can't see him from here, but he is out. And here this is in slow motion. Let's see what happened. It's hard to say, but he suddenly started across the race course, as you can see by the arrow, going straight across and headed towards the wall, then continuing, getting it just a little bit left. But into there. Phil is down with Graham right now. Let's see what happened.
Well, we're down here in the pits now with a rather dejected Graham Hill. Probably he's just driven one of the shortest Monaco races that I think he's ever experienced. Graham, what happened?
It's quite simply, I made a mistake. I hit the coming into the tobacconist. I hit the guardrail on the left with my left front wheel, and that sent me ricocheting across to the right into the wall. And of course, I ripped the whole of the right hand suspension off the front and rear wheels and stuffed the car.
Really unhappy to have done.
Yeah, I'd be upset, of course.
Understand why.
Oh, I should be so stupid to do
that. That's part of the life of being a racing driver.
Well, there you hear an unusual thing for many racing drivers. 42-year-old Graham Hill, a five-time winner of this race, not only saying that it was his own fault, but that it was a stupid thing to do. We'll be back in a minute with more of the Grand Prix of Monaco. We return to the streets of Monte Carlo in the 1971 Grand Prix of Monaco. That's Jackie Stewart in his blue Tyrrell Ford, number 11, still leading the race and beginning to stretch that lead out a little bit over second place Joe Seifert of Switzerland and third place Jackie Eakes of Belgium. Now here they come through the chicane. There's Stewart, here is Seifert, and here comes Jackie Eakes in the Ferrari. Bill, you know, Jackie Stewart led this race for some 68 laps last year, but then his car broke down, and this time he's in a brand new vehicle. It hasn't been raced before.
Well, there's still an awful lot of testing and proving that's gone behind this design and everything. The fact that it hasn't run before as a car doesn't really mean that much to him.
Okay, well, here they are up the hill again, and it's still Jackie Stewart, as you see, out in front. Quite a battle for fourth place has developed between Pedro Rodriguez, Ronnie Peterson. Oh, look out, there is
Tim
the
Schenken,
teammate of Graham
like.
Hill, Tim Schenken, yeah, up on the paving at the Gazometra.
Looks like he did in his tire, too.
Now they're coming down onto the uneven terrain headed towards Mirabeau.
Very uneven down here, isn't it? Look at how bumpy it is.
And here is that battle for fourth. There is Peterson trying to get by Rodriguez, but he can't, and Holm is just in back of them. Yesterday, I took a walk of this course all the way around with Jackie Stewart, the man who's out there leading the race right now. Let's go back in time then to this point on the course, just before the tunnel.
This particular part is one of the diciest places in the track, Jim, because you come out normally of bright sunshine, you know, really strong sunshine with reflection of the Mediterranean. You come in here, you're going very fast, fourth gear, 130 miles an hour, and you come in to the blackness of the tunnel. Okay, so, you're in the tunnel, you can imagine the noise in here because we've got an echo in here right now. You're coming out of this pitch black of the tunnel into, again, a very strong sunlight as you come out of here. So you've got this immediate glare on your eyes, and you've got to immediately fix yourself back into normal vision. We come down here, Jim, the fastest part of the circuit, 135, 140 mile an hour now before we get to the chicane here.
And again, interrupt for a second. We're on public streets here. For example, this is the Avenue President J.F. Kennedy.
So we've got, you know, coming into the chicane, for me, the chicane of Monte Carlo is the most difficult, the most demanding, and the most dangerous part of the whole track, because you're coming in at 135, 140 miles an hour. You've got the rock face on your right-hand side coming in. You've got the grandstand on your left-hand side over here with the people. And when you get through the chicane, which is a quick flick left and right through there, clipping it sometimes, you can see from the tire marks on the boarding there, you get in with a Mediterranean there on your left-hand side. You know, the whole place...
It's not unknown for drivers to go into the Mediterranean.
Well, there's been
Alberto Ascari went in, and Paul Hawkins went in.
And, yep. You know, before that was, of course, the barrier was put up. They put the barrier up, and, of course, now that, I hope, stops that possibility. And, of course, but, this is where they had the very bad Bandini accident.
Right, right.
He clipped this side here. The car went over, bounced into this lot here, and, of course, caught fire, and he later died. But,
Jackie, haven't they moved this chicane down a little bit since I was last year?
Yeah, they moved it down from, it was further up, but it was faster, Jim. It was opened up. Now, it's a very tight space now. The chicane itself, you're only using, from that bollard there, you're only using this amount of road. And if you lose time here, you've lost a second and a half in the whole lap. For me, this is the place where really time's made up.
A look at the tunnel and the chicane with Jackie Stewart, and here now the action at that chicane. Stewart still leading the race, and that is not Jackie, that's his teammate, Francois Sever. Look at that left rear tire. That's a real problem, Phil.
It really is. Been a fair amount of that already this time. It's those new small radial diameter tires that don't let you touch the curbings at all without wrecking a tire and a wheel.
And now here is Tim Schenken into the pit, so it looks like there's going to be the usual share of problems here in Monte Carlo.
Yep.
Again, the leader comes up the hill as he must do 80 times before the race is done. 80 laps around this 1.9-mile course, and here they are by the Hotel de Paris and the casino again. Stewart down the hill. And now back to second place Siebert. As you can see, Jackie is really stretching it out.
He lucked up his left front wheel a little bit there, getting into the Mirabeau turn here.
And here is that battle for fourth and fifth between Rodriguez and Peterson and Holm. That's a real fight right now. Chris Amon back into the pits. He did get started, but now he's back in again. It's like one of those days for him. Jackie Stewart has clearly established his superiority here in the streets of Monte Carlo in the 1971 Grand Prix of Monaco. However, there's a long way to go in this race, and now kind of the second story of the race usually begins here. Can the car last? Can it go all the way? Because the attrition rate in Monte Carlo is usually tremendous. Well, that was Stewart flashing through in pursuit of Tim Schenken, and look at the big lead he has on the second-place car, Joe Seifert. There he is, and there's Jackie Ickx. Still a great battle for second and third. Stewart right now will soon be trying to put a lap on this car in front of him, Tim Schenken. Remember, he broke down earlier, but he got a new tire on there, and he's back in the race. What's that sign mean to Jackie?
Well, I don't really know, Jim. Probably he's got a fuel cap or something that a certain predetermined time he's supposed to remember to turn on. That would be my guess.
That was Ken Terrell, the head of the Terrell Ford operation we saw there for a moment. As Stewart continues to try to get by Schenken. There's the move-over flag being given to young Tim from Australia, who's a teammate of Graham Hill's. And this time he's letting him go by. An interesting little bit of professional driving. The pursued and the pursuer almost working as teammates in that kind of an operation for a moment.
Yeah, there's the flag waving way up there. Look at him, see? He's going to have to sort of move over. And here's the perfect example of two guys working together. Both of them getting around the corner in the least amount of time and the least bother.
And the banners are higher all the time, saying Stewart and Jackie. Things of that nature all around this race course, hanging from balconies or draped on yachts out in the harbor. There is Mario Andretti of the United States. He was supposed to drive for Ferrari here, but there was only one good weather day for practice, and on that day his car broke down, so he didn't make the field. He didn't qualify. A very disappointed man. And here's a most interested young lady. That's Helen Stewart, the wife of Jackie Stewart, keeping lap times on the pit wall. And there goes her husband up the hill of Sandevoort yet another time. Emerson Fittipaldi in car number one is moving up in the standings, driving for Lotus. He won the United States Grand Prix last year.
Both the Lotuses had bad starting positions and a sort of a rough time in practice. Fittipaldi started way in the back.
So he's doing a very good job now, moving up into the top 10. Around the apartment house again. That's a brand new apartment house, by the way. The right turn onto the seawall, into the tunnel, and it must just seem endless. around and around in Monte Carlo. More racing in a minute. That's Chris Amon in number 20. He's had plenty of trouble. He's many laps behind, but is back in the race. Just to finish, this one is very good. Here are the second place and third place cars of the other BRM, Joe Seifert and Jackie Eakes in his Ferrari. And not too far behind them, Ronnie Peterson. Now, there's Regazzoni in the other Ferrari who has spun out.
That was just leaving the chicane, a very, very dangerous place to spin, incidentally.
And as we watch Stewart, Peterson has made a tremendous bid, and his march has passed Eakes and gone into third place. Let's watch for that battle now, because Peterson is moving up on the second place car of Seifert now. They should be coming through here just about any time. Here he comes, Peterson in the red car with the strange-looking airfoil, going into second place in the race.
That is fantastic. He is really putting on a tremendous show here.
There's Graham Hill talking to Lewis Stanley, who's the head of the BRM operation. Standing at the gasometric, Graham, of course, crashed earlier in his Brabham. So the race goes on in Monte Carlo. We'll be back here for the finish. Right now, on again to Hawaii and Bud Palmer. The others who are still... Oh, somebody's driven off into the escape route at the chicane, but he's okay.
Well, it's obviously one of the marshals. It must be Pescarola, Jim.
Yeah, it's Henri Pescarola in car number 27. Another one of the marches, but he's back on the race course. And there is Graham Hill still watching with Lewis Stanley of BRM. Graham looking as dignified as ever, although inside he's feeling very bad today after crashing on the second lap. What kind of a race course is this, Phil? You might think it might be kind of a Mickey Mouse circuit, in the phrase that's sometimes used. Or is it a very difficult course?
Well, naturally, on paper, when you look at the configuration of the circuit, Jim, it does appear to be very Mickey Mouse. All kinds of wiggles and hairpins and everything. But in actual fact, anybody that has ever tried to get in the race here, tried to qualify a car during the qualification days, knows that it is one of the most difficult circuits in the world to get around a quick lap.
By the way, about 3 minutes ago, we had a report that it was drizzling out there in that part of the course, out around the seawall. And now we begin to feel a few drops here in the pit area. However, at this stage, I should think Jackie can go slow enough, it wouldn't bother him.
Jackie should be able to be turning off enough of his speed a little bit with that kind of a buffer to not really have to worry too much about anything at this point, except to not do anything foolish.
Quick reminder here that ABC Sports will feature exclusive coverage of the U.S. Open Golf Championship, beginning with second-round highlights on Friday night, June 18th at 10:30. Third and final round action, Saturday the 19th and Sunday the 20th, beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Immediately preceding our U.S. Open telecast on Sunday at 3:30, a special half-hour golf special, a decade of Open champions, a 10-year history of the U.S. Open Golf Championship. So plan to be with us for that. That's less than 2 weeks from now that it starts. Jackie Stewart, though, on his way to victory, and the crowd beginning to cheer now. Just about nothing can stop him at this point. Last year, of course, Jack Brabham lost on the final turn of the race, but he was being very closely pursued by the late Jochen Rindt at that point. Nobody is close to Jackie Stewart. Scott, who won this race in 1966, a former champion of the world.
Ooh, he hit the barricade then. Did you see that? Excuse me, Jim.
Yeah, here's slow motion. Let's watch this now. The leader, Stewart, coming through.
Oh. Another inch, and it would have put him out.
So there we take him back again. You can see that he hit it. Now watch him hit it again. And you say another inch or two could have done it. Could have ruined the afternoon for him. But the checkered flag now greets Jackie Stewart, and the race is over. For the second time in his career, he has won the Grand Prix of Monaco. Louis Chiron waving the checkered flag now for Ronnie Peterson, who finished second. There is Jackie Eakes in the Ferrari number 4, who is about to finish third in the race. Running down the other finishers, and there is Jackie Stewart out of the car. Let's take a look at him now for a moment. Again, the protective hood that they wear nowadays to protect them against fire. Slight misspelling on the French superimposition there. It's Stewart with a T, not a D. And his wife, Helen, greeting Jackie. Boy, it must be a long afternoon for a racing wife, too.
He looks like a very, very tired young man.
Really does. Looks like he took a couple of pills. Do you think maybe he's not feeling too well after that long ride?
No, he doesn't look too well.
Being greeted now, however, by the Prince and Princess of Monaco, Prince Rainier and Princess Grace. We'll have a word with the winner in a minute. But here's a new one for us. We're riding with Jackie Stewart as he takes his victory lap.
Jackie!
Congratulations, champion.
Oh, Jim, thanks very much.
Did you have a nice ride?
Pretty good ride. The car went just beautifully. I never had any trouble at all. I made two mistakes. I changed the brake ratio on my on the warm-up lap, which was a mistake, because I was locking up my front wheels very badly. And then I touched the barrier with my left wheel about 25 laps to go. When I got in behind another car, I lost the wind, you know, from the draft. And I just touched the barrier, but I think I may have damaged the wheel slightly. But it stayed up very well.
While it's happening, while the shouts of the crowd are still going on all around us, how much a part of it is this?
Well, for me, this is quite a lot. I would be a hypocrite if I said it wasn't. I must say, anyone who wins a race like this has got to be pretty happy. I'm sure Phil knows that.
Your mood's a little different than before the race.
Well,
the last thing you said, if you don't remember, was that if it rained, you couldn't win. Why'd you say that?
Well, we had a particular problem with the setup of the car that it wouldn't work if it did rain. But we managed to keep it going in the dry. I think our prayers were doing well.
It didn't rain until the last lap, I believe.
Yeah, I think the last lap very quietly.
I mean, it did get a little bit slippery on the last lap, didn't it?
This side of the circuit, though.
Well, Bill, another year has gone by, another Grand Prix of Monaco, and it just gets more exciting every year, doesn't it?
Boy, it was really terrific.
Our thanks to you. Our thanks to you, Jackie.
Well, Jim, thanks for you. I think you should come to the mall.
Okay. That's the story in Monte Carlo.
The executive producer of ABC's Wide World of Sports is Rune Arledge. Grand Prix of Monaco was produced by Doug Wilson. Race coverage provided by ORTF French Television. Our director in Monaco, Larry Camp. The Duke Atomoku Surf Classic, produced by Fred Hutchison and directed by Larry Lindbergh. The production coordinator of ABC's Wide World of Sports is Dennis Lewin, and the program administrator, John Martin. Our associate director in Monaco, Joe Assetti. Next Saturday, be sure to join us for live coverage of the National Championship Sprint Car Race from Rossburg, Ohio, along with a special U.S. Open Golf Championship preview from Ardmore, Pennsylvania, on Wide World of Sports. Oh, and one other thing. Before we leave today's pre-recorded program, sincere congratulations and best wishes from all of us at ABC Sports to our friend and colleague, Bill Hill, who this day becomes a married man out in California. For now, this is Jim McKay speaking for Phil and for Jackie Stewart, saying so long. Air travel arranged through and promotional fee paid by American Airlines. American has more 747s flying to more places in the United States than any other airline. It's good to know you're on America. Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. The human drama of athletic competition. This has been ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Brought to you by Sears Tire and Auto Center, where you'll find die-hard batteries and a complete line of quality tires. By Midas, in behalf of the 564 Midas dealers from coast to coast. And by Mercury, where better ideas make better cars. It's as simple as that. Mercury makes better cars at the sign of the cat.
British singing sensation Val Dunican makes his American television debut in the company of...